All right, welcome back to part two of the over-unders. We're going to jump right into it, pick up where we left off with the Western Conference. But if you haven't heard part one on the East, make sure you check that out. I want to let you guys, all our listeners, know that we have a new website, fastbreakbreakfastpodcast.com, that you can check out. You can get some t-shirts and read about us and stuff like that. We also started a Patreon to help defray some of our production costs. So if you go to our website or go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast, you can see the details there. The short of it is, if you're a listener who wants to interact with us more and support us, you can get exclusive additional content. You can contribute questions. You can be in a fantasy league with us. All those things are available to you. And any contributions that we get will go towards making this show as good as it could possibly be, with the added goal of getting rid of the mid-show recorded ads, among other things. So check that out. Contribute if you feel like it. And as always, thanks for listening. All right, guys, welcome back to part two. We are diving straight in to the Western Conference over-unders.
Well, let's start at the top.
Keith.
How this works is Keith is going to give us his predicted win total,
which was incredibly close.
His over-under.
Well, I feel like Keith was better
last
year.
For the East, he was almost dead.
Well, I mean, there was some where... There's a different thing if I'm trying to guess the Vegas number.
Right.
Because I knew there was some where I'm like Indiana, Brooklyn. I'm like, I know I'm low.
Right.
But this is what I feel they're going to do.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah.
I'm going to let Keith give that number. Then I'm going to give the bookies number. And then we're going to decide, you know, over or under that number. And then if we all agree, we're going to bet so much money on it, it's going to ruin our lives.
That's
Yay.
Right. Because we rehashed in part one, in the 2 years of our podcast of doing these, that we have been unanimous on our over-unders 25 times. Those picks are 21-4. 21-4.
Straight cash.
And we're giving to you. You can check them. You can go back and listen to our old podcasts. Like, this stuff is public domain.
Mm-hmm. You can check, but after this, in the words of Randy Moss, millionaires don't have checks. Straight cash, homie. We're going to be dealing peddling in cash.
Yeah, well, we might put those up behind a paywall.
Make it rain.
This episode might be behind a paywall.
This
very
is your
quickly.
Last yeah, yeah. one.
Anyway, so... my pick for the Golden State Warriors, I have them winning 68 games this year.
Then you, sir, are over Vegas's line of 66.5, which is the largest one I've ever seen.
I was going to say, I'm guessing Vegas has them at 66.5. Like, I literally, that one felt right. Because it doesn't feel like you can go much lower than that, and then putting anything higher just feels silly. But I will go over. I will just open up, I'll say 68. I feel like even if this team rests their players, which we think they're going to do, even if they don't get the rebounding and rim protection we expect, I still think they could quote-unquote coast to 68 wins. So, because anytime they lose, it's going to be a big upset.
I feel that they have motivation to win as much games as possible. I feel like Durant has that motivation. I feel like it's important to him to show that this team, that any kind of narrative you want to create where this team isn't just as potent is abjectly false. So I feel like, yeah, I think they're going to win a lot of games. I think they're a threat to win 70 again. I have them over as well.
I am going under. Let me explain why.
Here we go.
So you think it's motivation. I call it pressure. you know, you're looking at putting together players who, you know, have never really played with the same. I mean, granted, Westbrook was fantastic and played wonderfully with Durant. I think you have a hierarchy there. When you bring in Durant, that may cause some turmoil when it comes to, you know, chemistry with the Warriors. Reading now last year, Draymond Green was kind of like a locker room kind of head.
Is this a real thing, though, this whole Klay Thompson, Draymond Green?
This is what I've read. But anyway, this is the idea behind me going under. I think there's going to be some big three first-year Miami Heat kind of turbulence.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be some issues with the defensive side of the ball that I'm sure is going to cost them in close games when they think they should be beating Charlotte by 25 and they're in a close game. And I think they're going to have more of these kind of aberrations where on paper they should not lose when they actually
do. It's a very high number, and I'm actually glad that Chuck is going under so we're not compelled to bet.
Yeah, I think I think it's going to be like 64.
It's such
60.
An awkwardly high number you're like, you feel bad. But I think what you're saying, John, I get on board with, where you can have some complacency, and some of the guys from the 73 win team are like,
maybe don't bring in the energy. But Durant's on a new team with something to prove.
So and they have quite a few guys on
their
team.
Yeah, and I feel like on those nights, your boy, Chuck's boy, Pat McCall, and Durant are going to carry. They're going to say, "Hey, hop on my back. I'll take you there."
The McCall train.
I just think that the pressure that this super team has on it, and the way that the NBA is going to kind of focus on them as kind of this, makeshift bad guy, that it may cause them 4 or 5 games.
That bad guy narrative is so weird to me.
I don't get it either, but I didn't get Miami's.
I mean, it's
journalists get really bored.
Yeah. It's a bad guy narrative among journalists and the Twitterati.
Right.
It is not. If you go to an NBA arena where the Warriors are playing, it's going to be Warriors.
Yeah.
Like when I go to Memphis in December,
it's going to be
all Warriors fans. Yeah. It's going to be all Curry jerseys.
And I agree, but the way I think, the NBA players, they do listen to that Twitterati and the journalism, the journalists that kind of pour hate on them, a la Charles Barkley. So I think they can go 65 games, still be number one seed in the West, still have home court all the way, and go under 68.
I'm just thankful that you kept me from having to put money on
this. Right. This doesn't feel like a comfortable bet, but anyway, who we got?
San Antonio.
San Antonio Spurs, I'd initially put them third in the West. I redid it. I have them second in the West. I still have them at 57 wins, and I assume that's over.
You nailed it.
Nailed it right
on the money.
Oh, it is 57?
That's a push, so I'm going to make you have to choose.
I hate it when you're stupid, when Pickle gives you these local lines and it's 57 right on the...
Pickle doesn't like to push either.
Man.
This is the team who won 67 games last year.
Yeah, I'm gonna say over, because I think they are head and shoulders above so many other teams, and I trust in Pop, and I know
what about this
downgraded the defense and all that stuff
that he may be getting shopped.
Yeah,
that's very interesting to me.
Man, I'm telling you, I threw that trade out, Dragon Bender, a first round pick, and Brandon Knight for LaMarcus. You guys were angry at me.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you were ahead of the curve.
That's a good deal. So I guess I'll go over, man.
Chuck, how are you
I
feeling?
Don't believe the LaMarcus Aldridge nonsense. From Jackie McMullen, whose only source is Danny Ainge. And I think...
Well, they have the same hairdresser.
I think this is the way it works. You've replaced a defensive, all-time great, and even in his last year, Tim Duncan was incredible, with Paul Gasol. And he's going to have... There's going to be some defensive lapses. Aldridge isn't a defensive stalwart. You're not seeing 60 games... But I think you can get 58, 59 games out of that team with Popovich and a healthy for the whole season Tony Parker, which I think is something we have to kind of
10 games about. To me is a swoon, and I don't expect a swoon from a Popovich team.
Right.
Wow. So wait, we're all going over 57?
We're all going over 57.
That is awkward.
Yep, that's going to be a weird... Walking up to the window for that one's going to be weird. That's going to be an awkward phone call.
Here's the thing. The whole Pau Gasol being so bad and all the bad numbers on him on defense in Chicago...
He'll play better in San Antonio.
I feel like we're going to see a reversal of that where it's like, is Pau good at defense again? Pau's smart.
And he's going to be in a system that will utilize his strengths and hide his weaknesses.
Absolutely. I think Pop will work magic with Pau. Mm-hmm.
You guys at home can't see this, but I, 2 hours ago, have placed a Pau Gasol poster behind me. And now over my left shoulder as I podcast right now, there is a very young,
so weird
a very
I
spry,
thought it was Gordon Gierichek.
Yeah, Pau Gasol looking very much like Gordon Gierichek. So I think Pau's going to do really well in San Antonio, and I think they're going to win a ton of games, which is why we all took the over.
Let's get, this is perhaps one of the most interesting and divisive over-unders, Oklahoma City Thunder. Keith, what do you think?
So they finished third, which is in the West last year, which is why we got to them right now. I have them all the way down at eighth in my Western Conference at 41 wins.
You are going under by 4 games.
Yeah.
Vegas line at 45.
I would have guessed. I think this team is going to be so bad at defense.
Yeah,
and I think Westbrook is going to take over the team to his detriment, to fantasy owners' delight, to the actual team's detriment.
Mm-hmm.
I have him under. I got 41 for me.
So this is a team that had a pretty comfortable season last year, coasting at 55, was very extremely dangerous in the playoffs. It took a Golden State miracle comeback, really, to win.
Klay Thompson.
But they have lost 2 of their most pivotal players. I mean, arguably their most pivotal player. Just depends where you are in the Durant-Westbrook debate. But Ibaka was, a cornerstone for that team as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply how much damage do you think losing those two guys is? Do you think it's because if you say Keith, I could see people saying they win 35 games.
Yeah, I could see him missing the playoffs.
Like I think it could be that bad. I think Russell Westbrook's amazing, but how does that translate to wins when he's trying to play the role of two superstars?
I fear Russell Westbrook as a basketball player. Like when the Grizzlies play them, I'm like, we're going to lose. We're going to lose. But that's irrational. They're not that good when he's the alpha dog.
Right.
So, yeah, I think
yeah, statistically, 500 ball. Yes, I think, yeah, you're looking at like a 43-win team.
Wow. So we're unanimous under. On unders.
Yeah.
And this is getting so stressful.
Well,
guys.
Then the NBA GMs.
You guys know I'm the one who has to place these bets, right?
The NBA.
What happens if you all die? And it's just me having to pay these monstrous sums.
When surveyed, the NBA GMs picked, I think, the Thunder to finish fourth in the West or third in the West. So I don't know. One, it gives me pause about the NBA GMs.
You could talk me into them still being a 50-win team, or you could talk me them into being a 35-win team. I don't know what the hell to do.
I see the upside. I do see the upside for Thunder fans. I think they have an interesting mixture of big men. Oladipo coming in over is nice. He might do some things, even though I think...
I don't think Oladipo is very good.
Yeah, he might. I think he might be who he is.
Yeah.
Their lack of a wing,
yeah,
of like a three, a forward, I think is going to be a problem.
Who are their secondary and tertiary scorers?
Their defense is going to be so bad.
Ersan.
I love Ersan.
Well, I'm too confused to talk about that team any longer. Let's talk about a team that I think we know exactly what they're going to be. Los Angeles Clippers. Keith, what's your number?
This is a team who I actually subtracted two wins from today based on a preseason game I just watched. on our better or worse previews, I was talking about how all the minimum veterans they brought in, I thought were a fantastic job bringing in Brandon Bass and Raymond Felton and Allen Anderson. I was watching a lineup, I think, of Spates, Bass, Felton, Rivers, and Jamal Crawford.
That's painful.
And I was like, what is Doc doing? This team is horrible. So I took two wins from him. I moved him from the second seed to the third seed. I still have him at 56, which I feel like is probably very close to what Vegas has.
Vegas has him at 54.
So, okay. So I will take that over. I still think Griffin comes back in a huge way this year. I like the roster. I don't think they should start Mba Mute, but...
This team is win or die.
Yep.
They have to hit this over. Because this is their last chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they don't make a run this year, this team will have to be blown up.
Yeah.
So in my mind, that makes Chris Paul and Blake Griffin very dangerous. I think they could win. I'm thinking they're going to win 60 games. I have them as probably the second best team in the West this year, if not the Spurs.
Literally I could see them winning 60 until I watched that preseason game.
Sure.
Those lineups they were rolling out where I'm like, this doesn't make any sense at all.
But they very well could, you know, those could be lineups you never see during the regular season.
It's possible. So, yeah, again, you really shouldn't let preseason affect how you feel about these things, but I did.
Let's get some deep Clippers thoughts with Chuck.
So that's an over for you too, yes, right?
54?
54. Seems
no
low.
Way, dude. They're like a 58 to 60 win team.
I agree. They won 53 last year with no Blake Griffin.
Yeah, and they're not going to be worse than last year. So yeah,
they match up well against the two dangerous players in Curry and Durant. Those are the two guys they're good against.
How do you feel about the Clippers compared to the Celtics? I know it's a cross conference comparison.
I think you have better top shelf talent in Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. Those two players are better than anybody else on the roster in Boston.
Those are
me.
Two comparable teams.
But overall, I think the depth in Boston is, a little bit better than the Clip Show.
I think the Clippers are better. I would say the Clippers are definitely better than the Celtics, is my opinion. And it is. It's like
Celtics have a better coach.
They're top shelf. Yeah. For me, it's can Brad Stevens get more out of his roster? But you have those legit, a perfect team that fits so great together. Mm-hmm. The Celtics don't fit awesome. Still,
right,
right.
So,
Celtics still haven't gotten the guy they want, the type of player they want. They're still looking for that stretch four.
All that to say, in my mind, there are the Warriors, the Spurs, the Cavs, the Clippers, who I think are better than everybody else.
Right.
So, because of that, I assume they're going to win. Like most nights, they're going to be the favorites, so I assume they're going to win 54 comfortably. So, yeah. So that's a unanimous over for us, right?
This is getting very expensive, gentlemen. This is getting extremely expensive.
The way to make the most money is just to bet everything we do.
Yeah. Right.
I'm just saying, like, not even think about it. But anyway,
Let's travel now to Rip City, Portland Trailblazers. Keith, what is your number?
This is an interesting team. This is a team I feel like a lot of people are all over the board. Obviously, their fans think they got better. I don't have them as being much better. I actually have taken a win from last year. I have them at 44 wins.
That's how many games they won last year.
Okay, so it's the same? All right.
Yes.
Yeah,
Vegas has them at 45.5.
I guess I'll take the under.
I'm with you.
I feel like they're very talented. They're fun to watch. It wouldn't surprise me if they won 50, you know?
This is where the other teams being healthier and better hurts them.
Right. That's how I feel.
That's why I don't think that this is an indictment on Terry Stotts or what he's done or that roster, but I think they're basically the same team. They didn't make any, like, there was no sea changes over there, and I think that the Western Conference is better than it was last year.
Right.
There were some players that eat them alive, like Blake Griffin, who were hurt.
Right.
So, I mean, it's going to be tough for them to repeat last year.
Well, I see the, you know, we'll get to them. I see the Nuggets and the Timberwolves and the Pelicans winning some more games. The Grizzlies were you know, decimated last year.
Right.
So I feel like that's where it cost them. They're a very similar team to last year, but I do see them. That's where I see them costing. So, yeah, 44 for me.
It sucks that line is right around where they were last year.
That line's a good one. This is one, if I wasn't morally committed to betting everything we say, right, on this show, I would stay away because I would not be surprised at all if they soared past
Chuck,
that.
Our fate is in your hands.
Our fate's in your hands.
Yeah. So I think we're looking at, like, no, you know, CJ McCollum's not going to sneak up on people, but
I also agree with that.
But Myers Leonard's back, baby.
Alfruk Aminu.
Have you seen him? His hair. What in the world?
He's
beautiful. Mason Plumlee. You know, they've got a little bit of depth now.
This is Festus's team.
It is the Fest.
Poor Festus.
I'm subtracting Festus. 4 wins for Festus.
Festus
alone.
Not even playing. It's so sad.
So
you can't play him. He's just a foul machine.
But the West has improved, and I could see them easily doing 41, 42 games.
Oh, boys.
So,
we have a listener base in Portland.
Yeah. Oh, boys.
This is tough.
I hope they do well.
Matt Silverman.
I mean, I love that series against Golden State last year with them. I was rooting for them hard. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're going to be as sneaky as they were. And they're going to, you know, we're going to see a lot of teams prepare for the Lillard onslaught.
I agree. Kudos to one of the stealthiest and quickest rebuilds you'll ever see.
They didn't have to bottom out.
But that's where they are.
Before we move on, I will say, on the good side for the Trailblazers, they don't have bad players. They literally have no bad players.
Right. Harkless.
They will roll. I mean, we did point out that, you know, yes, CJ can do a little backup point. They don't really have a backup point. But, like, top to bottom, they have a bunch of really good players. And Dame plays so many minutes. Dame never gets hurt.
Yeah.
Knock on wood. So they're going to be real good. Again, they can embarrass us all. This could be one of our big misses.
It could be. But last year we went hard over.
I hate that we're unanimous.
Last year we went hard under. Hard over, and we got it right. But this year,
that was the easiest pick from last year.
This year's tough, and we all went under.
But, yeah, so, you know.
All right. Sorry, guys.
End of the day, they have Evan Turner. So.
Hey, that's addition by subtraction, baby.
And Portland is the only place I've ever been thrown out of a bar.
Subtraction by addition.
Oh, jeez. So,
yeah. All right, let's go to a place with wonderful strip clubs and a quarterback controversy.
Dallas.
Oh, Dallas. I forgot they were sixth last year.
Mm.
As you will.
Keith, what's your number?
Dallas, the perplexing squad where I just look at them, I don't know what to do. I'm giving them 38.
Vegas is a little bit higher than you with 40.
Yeah, that's
so Keith, you're settled up with an under.
I will stick with the under. Just because, again, and much like the East, I have seven teams between 44 and 38 wins. So
no Carlisle Magic this year, huh, Keith?
I mean, I feel like Carlisle Magic gets some 38 wins. I feel like in the hands of Dave Yeager, this would be 30 wins.
Chuck, how do you feel?
Oh, totally unprovoked low shots.
Right in the goatee.
I like Harrison Barnes in that team, and I think Carlisle can squeeze some, you know, juice out of him, get him to actually make a layup. But I don't know. We have to expect a Dirk drop off eventually.
We got it last year.
We saw it last year, but it usually, once it starts, it's precipitous, you know, in the following years.
Like the Barkley decline?
Right.
Oh, my God, what happened?
Yeah, so I think he's going to turn into, you know, a big pile of sticks, may not play a lot of minutes, and they can't really hide his defensive woes anymore. So I'm going to go under there with the old Dally Mavs.
Well, gentlemen, you'll thank me later because I'm going over.
All right, all right.
And we don't have to bet against Rick Carlisle.
Their starting lineup could be so good. Could be really
right. good.
It could be really. Like if Wesley Matthews is better.
That's where I was headed. If Wes Matthews returns to form, they're going to win 45 games easy. And I think Carlisle will be able to at least get Chandler Parsons level production from Harrison Barnes. I think he's a better player, has more talent, isn't as good a passer, but he's
you think
better
Harrison
at everything
Barnes
else.
Is better than Parsons?
I do.
I think we might call that a hot take, but
that's a hot take. But I think he gives them.
He has this. He suits up and plays.
Well, and that's
that
what
is
I'm
true,
saying.
Which is
it'll he'll
just
he'll,
showing
he's not mailed of
just
a
showing
frail
up
bird
is 95% of the
yeah. You know. He'll give him more by the fact of being there.
Right.
And Bogut's going to be there, who could kind of mask some of the you know being that Tyson Chandler kind of esque role.
I
where
think
he hides
if Bogut plays a lot of games, they're going to be so tough.
He's going to play 60 games, and then half of those he's going to be injured playing through pain. So I'm thinking you're probably going to get 30 great games out of Bogut this year, maybe.
Hey, those are 30 wins.
Yeah. That's probably.
Take me to the promised land.
As long as they're not playing Golden State, the Clippers, the Spurs, or the Cavs.
I am frankly excited to see what Carlisle does with these players.
Yep.
I think they're one of the more interesting teams to watch this year. And I think they'll probably cruise over 40 wins. I just don't think the West has gotten better, but I thought the additions they made was commensurate with the rest of what the West did, with the exception of the Warriors.
Yeah,
We're gonna skip Memphis because I can't bear to talk about them. No, we'll do the Grizzlies next.
All right,
Keith, what have you? I'm scared of what you're about to say.
I don't know what your newest update is, but this is one I haven't been able to avoid. Okay. I've seen this thrown out, bandied about, and I wrestled with it. The number I've given them is 43.
Okay, you're one below Vegas.
The number I've seen is 43.5. So Vegas 44 has 44.
Now. Yeah.
So here's the thing. This is the first year I've ever gone under on the Grizzlies.
You're barely going under.
And I think I'm going to stick with it. When Mark Gasol and Mike Conley play, this team is going to be good.
Right.
Literally almost whoever else is the 2-4, they're going to be good. Also in preseason, Mike Conley and Mark Gasol look insanely good.
Right.
Mark Gasol has already embarrassed Dwight Howard and Joel Embiid.
Yes.
Where it's just like, he's like, you are children.
The Embiid one, he made Joel Embiid crap his pants.
Yeah. So this team's going to be so good. Chandler Parsons is even icing on the cake.
Right.
So if Chandler Parsons plays those games that they play, they're going to win 75-85% of their 80% of their games.
Right.
I just don't think it's going to happen. I think they're going to be fighting injury.
Can we talk about Mark's foot, or is it uncouth?
Yeah, so Mark's foot, he's already had a bone bruise where he left a game, and they're like, everything's fine, don't panic, which is like, you're already in your bad foot, you play it again, and you have a bone. This is bad. Like, this is more bad stuff. This is not reassuring. He's just too big. So my optimism on injury is so low. So yeah, I'm going, I guess, the slight under. But again, my dream as a Grizzlies fan is this team just makes the playoffs and they're healthy. Because then I think...
Well, 43 would get you in the playoffs last year, but I don't know if it gets you in the playoffs this year.
I have them at a 6 seed at 43 because I'm a crazy person.
I think that they will go over.
Oh, I love yes. it. This is... Our roles are reversed.
Yeah, I think... We're going to see a little bit of that Fizdale magic. Coach Grizzdale.
I think that's an upgrade that can't be overlooked.
I mean, you're looking at, when you bring in a new coach, when you have an old roster and players have been together, you can kind of get that juice of like, hey, guys, come on. This is it. This is how we're going to get by. And I think that championship pedigree from the Miami Heat, you're welcome, bringing that in can kind of instill that system that will help them get an extra 3 or 4 games over what their talent may allow. So I'm going to go over on the old Grizz boys.
I like Coach Cool Dad to bring something out of this roster as well. I have him over. I think it's going to be comfortably over. I'm not saying Marc Gasol is going to play all year, but I do think Conley will play all year. And that team won 42 teams made out of mashed potatoes and cat poop.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that this team, I like them to be, I think they'll be above Portland this year, for instance.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think Dallas and Memphis are kind of in the same boat.
Right.
I had Portland at 44, Memphis at 43. I think Portland is safer just because they have more depth and they have no injury history.
Much more depth.
Right. You know, so it's like But, you know,
Memphis does not have depth.
I'm severely worried again about the Andrew Harrison, Wade Baldwin thing. That's a huge hole.
Yeah.
That's the hasn't looked good.
You might have to apologize to Andrew Harrison again.
I might, but I'm with Chuck. I think the Fizdale empowerment of players is going to be such a big thing. This guy has so much charisma,
right?
So much leadership.
I mean, the fact that he can
played
get
a lot
Z-Bo,
better under the line. Oh yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
When you get Z-Bo coming off the bench and kind of, you know, touting the company line of like, I'm going to do what it takes to win. You're looking at.
I'm very hopeful.
I think he got, you know, a definite, you know, playoff team that if healthy could see sneak into the second
round. Literally. It's like if Conley plays 70, 75, 78 games, you know, and Gasol is playing 60, they'll be fine. They'll be in the playoffs.
Right.
And they'll hit the over.
Yeah.
You know, like sure. I think they'll easily win 43 games if Conley plays 80.
You're
betting against a subpar training staff.
I'm nervous. I was always so optimistic about the Grizzlies, and literally something snapped last year when they lost by 80 points and to the Warriors and the Cavs. Like them losing by 50 and then getting blown out 5 times last year when that had never happened before. Like something snapped in me where I lost my optimism, and then everything, all the signs of this team are it's not going to work. I don't care all these stories we tell. Like everybody's so hurt. Like Jarrell Martin is still hurt. Deonte Davis has foot problems. Jordan Adams might never play basketball. Brandon Wright's never played 50 games once. I think he's played 50 games in a season. Like
Keith is scaring me to death.
Bone bruise. Conley never finishes a year. Tony Allen hasn't played a single minute in the preseason. Like, guys, it becomes overwhelming.
You are a doomsdayer.
Doomsayer.
Are you building a bunker and collecting seeds? This isn't...
No, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm taking the under.
What's your middle name?
Michael.
Keith Michael Parrish. He's an assassin now.
He is.
He's a famous assassin. He just assassinated my hope.
Look.
I think James Ennis is a fantasy steal.
Mm.
I think he's going to suit up and play a ton of minutes.
King James.
I'm excited about those fringe guys, you know, like that. I hope Troy Williams might stick around. He might be waived by the time this comes out because they have too many players on the roster. But
if I was wearing a mood ring right now, it would be jet black.
Mm.
And it was once bright blue.
Yep.
Memphis
So I'm the only under on the Memphis Grizzlies.
Jesus. Not anymore.
With a 7-foot Marc Gasol banner looking over my shoulder, judgingly.
I'm pretty sure Chuck and I are about to change our over under.
You've convinced
everything
me.
Everything you said just then was awful and true.
Yeah.
You're a three-eyed raven of nightmares. Jesus.
Who we got?
Let's go to another team that's better than Memphis. Oh, that is bad. You just hurt my feelings.
There's a dark cloud above
Houston,
our house
Houston
now.
Rockets. What's your number, Keith?
Okay, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Houston Rockets are the two teams.
You better stop. Take that word out of your mouth. You can't talk about the Grizzlies anymore. We've moved past them.
The Grizzlies and the Rockets are the two teams that I think could obliterate the win totals. They have the biggest variance.
I agree.
Of like the Grizzlies can put out a squad that might be awesome. The Rockets might go back to 2 years ago, and the Rockets might win 56 games.
Right.
Yep.
I had them at 42.
Vegas has them at 44, so you're under. I am way over. I think the Rockets will thrive in a Howard-less environment.
Yeah.
And a Kevin McHale-less environment. And I like D'Antoni's fit. I like the idea of James Harden running the point. The Beverly thing sucks. And gives me pause.
I think that sucks for them in the playoffs more than anything when the game slows down a little bit and his defensive prowess will be more worthwhile. But I think during the regular season with D'Antoni's offense, they're going to be pushing the ball. It's going to be 7 seconds or less. I think you're going to see they're definitely going to be one of the top three teams in scoring.
They're going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a great team to watch.
They're going to hit so many shots.
And I think the drop off from Dwight Howard to Clint Capela is not going to be terribly awful.
Honestly better at offense.
The
than
chemistry
is.
Gained alone offsets right. anything.
So
the talent disparity.
I mean, you're looking at what was the number?
44.
44.
They won 41 games last year.
I think they can do it, man. I think that's like a 46, 47.
This is a 50 win team.
I almost want to switch it because like I feel like my biggest hang up is I think Ryan Anderson is terrible.
David Anderson.
I think Eric Gordon might not play.
He has to do is hit his shots.
I think the Pat Beverly thing is huge.
I do
regular season wise. I think this talk about James Harden is all fun to talk about in like half court sets. Literally getting the ball from the baseline into the offense is a big deal to add to James Harden's load.
Yeah, because Pat Beverly harasses you from the moment you get the ball until you get rid of the ball, and James Harden doesn't do that.
And teams are going to pressure him.
Yes.
Teams are going to put in stupid Wade Baldwin 4 and say, like, hey, body up James Harden once he gets it. Make him dribble. Like,
I view your under here as a Pat Beverly caveat.
It kind of is. It honestly cost, for me, like, I think I would have been at 44 or 45 without, because we don't, it's only, and it's very breaking news, sort of. I mean, it's been like, there's no official word as of we record this. Like, it just says he has a knee injury, he's going to be out for the opener and might have surgery. So I don't know if, I don't think Pablo Prigioni is enough,
right,
you know, to back up that point guard. So I think him, I think it's going to wear him out a little bit. And that's why, and I think their defense is going to be so bad. But again, I can't argue hard against you guys, because again, I think this team could win 50 games easily. It makes sense to me.
Right.
Let's go to the preseason darling, Utah Jazz. This Vegas number may shock you.
I got him in fourth place, home court advantage. I kind of tempered my expectation, though. I put him at 47.
That is the number exactly. So it did not shock you. I stand corrected.
And I will. Man, that's huff.
That is huff.
Huff and puff.
Extremely huff.
That's very, very huff. I would, again, if someone would give me 80-1 on hitting 47 exactly, I would take that.
Well, we're not going to give that to you here.
Let me think. You guys go. You guys go.
All right,
go.
Chuck, we'll give Keith a break from going first.
Gordon, OG dog, he's going to be out, what?
A few weeks, a month or two?
I mean, that's probably five games, you know.
Joe Johnson, big November coming.
Big November.
Posting him up, Joe!
I don't know.
This number sucks.
I could see them winning 42 games, or I can see them winning 52 games.
I mean, this team should be good.
They should be good.
Everyone is like, this team looks good. And I'm excited about this team. This team should be awesome.
You got the Stifle Tower, one of our favorite players, Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
I think you got, you know. I
mean, Derek Favors, Trey Lyles.
Right.
Boris Diaw, George Hill coming in.
Those pickups are awesome.
They're huge.
Well, I'm going to end all the dawdling here. Yeah, I'm going over.
You're going over. Thank you, John, for being the man.
And I think it's going to be, this is a hard one. This is like, I think that number is right where it should be. But I'm like you guys, I see this as a fourth or fifth seed team.
This is a team I want to say, I wonder if I have it here. I want to say I picked them to win 50 games last year. And I feel like they disappointed me so badly last year. Even though I know there was injury, I know people were dinged up.
I just love the Diaw and Hill acquisitions, stuff like that. I mean, getting rid of Trey Burke, I think is great for this team, for what they're trying to do.
Yeah,
I think they're kind of believing in themselves now, if that makes sense. Like, I think they know that the pressure's on them and that they know where they need to get to.
I feel like the pressure's on them.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't feel like that's good. I feel like, I mean, I guess you can always work the narrative both ways. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm like, you know, I don't know. I feel like this team has disappointed a couple times. And when we're like, last year, them not making the playoffs in the last few games of the season.
And
when,
the way they did it.
Yeah. Like, they had a home game against the Mavs. It was like a play-in game, and the Mavs were hurt, and they lost. And then they lost some other game. Like,
this team is way too talented to roll
night
over
before,
and die.
And then they rolled over and died for the fever dream that was Kobe's last game.
Right.
I know it didn't matter at that point, but still, like, that whole thing left such a bad taste in my mouth that it gives me pause. I don't know.
I just don't see how teams can score enough to beat for this team to lose 42 games again.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
I'm going to go under.
All right.
I just, and it's arbitrary. I've got no real knowledge on this. It's all just based on my gut.
I'm gonna say over.
Boris Diaw's gut.
I'm gonna break my tie with Vegas, and I will take the over.
Now we get to the a team that is as hopeless as that team was hopeful. Sacramento Kings. Your line.
I don't even want. I mean, I got him at 32, which is if you know me. That's a massive compliment, Kings fans.
Yeah.
I have never once picked them to win 30 games. Well, so 32 games. I think there's too much talent, even though it doesn't make sense.
Young fella, you're still under by half a game. Mm-hmm. Vegas says 32 and a half.
32, by the way, that's a stone cold lock under. Mm-hmm. I'm taking my half game under as stone cold lock. No chance this
would
team wins
33
games.
Would it shock you to know that they won 33 games last year?
It would.
Well, they did.
No, I did. I knew that. I love that under. They have no point guard. Ty Lawson is missing flights and showing up
Vegas.
After Vegas party. He missed that trip to Lexington. I almost went to Lexington. I thought about going, but did not pull away.
My Ty
Lawson is not under control.
I'm under as well.
Under. They stink.
Well, also, somehow, some way, their front office got worse with the addition of Dave Yeager. And somehow, some way, I can't even believe I'm saying this, Rajon Rondo is a big loss for them.
Yeah.
I think I was listening to the Sports Illustrated, their NBA pod, and they were talking about how, like,
they're going to miss him.
Like, the Kings are going to miss Rondo. Like, right. like Rondo
he was Boogie's buddy, too.
Yeah, so I...
What do you...
It's just
the only thing
year.
That can save the Kings is, like, to just trade Boogie for everything they can get.
I feel like they're this giant mound of rocks, and there actually is a very good sculpture under there. I feel like I could build a roster I almost really like. Like, the idea of playing Boogie alongside Matt Barnes, Rudy Gay, Caspi, I like that. I like that. You know, like, but I don't think they're gonna do it.
No.
I think they're gonna roll out these Boogie and Kufus, and then there's gonna be Darren Collison after 8 games, or Jordan Farmar is gonna start the season. And it just makes me shake my head. And
Jack,
again,
are you making us unanimous?
Yeah, they're garbage. It's just a garbage franchise, and I don't think garbage
well,
franchise.
We have to put our money where our mouth is.
Yeah, I don't think.
Similarly.
Does well.
I expect we might be putting our money where our mouth is on this team. Denver Nuggets. Keith. What's the line?
I think I'm too high on them. I have them at my 9 seed. I have them at 40 games.
Vegas says 37 games, putting Keith at an over.
Chuck,
what say you?
I'm going to say I love the over.
Yeah, I'm going.
I had a feeling we would be unanimous on this.
Yeah, it's over on that team. I just think those young bigs are going to, you know, get better.
The Nuggets are on to something.
I feel like
Moutier can stop
all those players rule all
over
of them
every single time. Then they should be fine.
I mean, Wilson Chandler's back.
Yeah,
Danilo Gallinari's averaging like 3.6 points per shot in the preseason. How's that even possible?
Yeah,
let's talk about the coaching.
Yeah, Mike Malone setting up a good.
No longer stuck in Sacramento where he won games.
Right.
I mean, this is probably the best job Mike Malone's had.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this team. I feel like I might be too carried away because I think I've grown infatuated with this team. Mm-hmm.
Come on, this is a 40-win team.
I feel like it is, but again, if I'm going to miss any of these bets that I've made, it's I'm missing on the Rockets under and the Nuggets over. This is I feel strong about it. Like those are the ones I wrote these numbers down. I did all the math. I'm like, I'll go with that, but I feel like I might be too high on them because I'm biased.
Ahead of the curve as far as how they're building their roster right now.
Even that Hernan Gomez is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a lock.
Yep.
We'll see. We'll see how stupid I look. Now we're to the New Orleans Pelicans.
What does even Vegas do with this team?
Well, I'll tell you after you tell me. You show me yours, doctor.
I wrote them down at 36. I would guess Vegas has them at 37.
Split the difference, big boy, 36 and a half.
Yeah. So, like, I have them at 36, and I could see Anthony Davis carrying this team, you know, to more wins than that, but it seems safer to bet on him twisting his ankle every month or two and missing just enough games where they can't win. So I'll go with the slightest of unders at 36.
I'm under in a big way. I think they finished with probably 33, 34 wins. I know that sounds like I'm not under in a big way. That's if Anthony Davis plays a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play a lot, this could be a 26, 27 win team.
Yeah.
They don't have any good players.
Well, I mean, they had no players last year, and they won
30 games.
They won 30 games last year. So it's like, I get the feeling we talked about in our couple shows ago that they increased their depth so much, their roster was just okay, you know, like
right.
Fill out your replacement level players, that I think it's going to help them so much that, again, it's when Drew Holiday comes back, assuming that everything goes fine medically with his wife, Lauren, that he'll be back soon enough, and then if Anthony Davis is on the court, they should be a pretty good team.
You know,
so it's hard to go either way on that.
I'm switching to an over.
Oh, really?
And I'll tell you why.
Yep,
I've got Buddy Mania.
You got the Buddy Hield Mania.
I got the Buddy Hield
Mania. Man has no conscience, and he does no interest in missing shots in the preseason. No, he's not interested. No.
I'm switching to an over 37 wins.
Yeah,
that 36 and a half. It swayed me.
I don't know. This is a hard one because you're kind of betting on Anthony Davis's health.
Yes, you are.
And if you know he's a top five player in the league, if he's healthy, I think. That usually means playoffs.
Yep.
But that didn't mean playoffs in a few seasons when we were kind of betting on him. So I'm going to go under because I just don't trust the franchise.
Well, I kept it from being unanimous. You can all think about it.
Well, they have serious questions at the forward spot.
Yeah. Oh.
No coupon.
No Rhino.
And it's like Solomon Hill is an undersized four.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't want him playing three. You don't want Dante Cunningham playing three. And they don't really have options. I do hope Lentz Born Ready stinks.
Oh,
I want him in the league.
He needs to be a player.
Okay, this one, I think we may have some real discourse here, folks. Minnesota.
Hmm.
Vegas says, I'll tell you after you tell me, Keith.
I will tell you. I have, again, I want to count this down. I have Portland 44, Memphis 43, Houston 42, Thunder 41, Denver 40, and I have Minnesota next in line at 39.
Vegas is very hopeful. 42 and a half.
Yep. And I feel like, I don't know. Again, it's easy to see the storyline where this team wins more than that, but I feel like this team
Why?
Is... Because Karl-Anthony Towns becomes, a la Anthony Davis's second season, becomes MVP guy.
Right.
And Tibbs obviously transforms them into a good defensive team. That's the story. I'm taking the under. I also feel like we're getting extra games because they are become the popular team. They've captured the zeitgeist or the interest of the populace. So, yeah, I'll go 39 wins and under.
I like this team to improve, but that is such an enormous... That is more than 10 games of improvement.
Yeah.
From last year.
From a team that added Cole Aldridge and Brandon Rush. And
Chris Dunn.
Yeah. Well, Chris
Dunn. Who probably can't play that much because Ricky Rubio is still there and is still better than him.
Yeah.
I like this team a lot.
Uh-oh.
I don't think that coaches really matter much except when you have a maniac.
No life, no wife, Tom Tibbs.
Right. He's out there going to be screaming all day long, and he's got a couple years before he wears these kids down to a nub. But I think he'll get every inch out of them that they need to get to about 44, 45 wins and get into the playoffs. That's an over. I think they're going to go
over.
It.
I mean, I as a Grizzlies fan, this is a team I could see, like...
displacing us?
That just, like... beats the hell out of the Grizzlies every time you play them.
They already do.
And then you're like, oh, we can't hang with this team. This is ridiculous. And so I could see them doing that. I do wonder.
Remember when we used to beat the hell out of the Timberwolves? What happened to those?
Yeah,
days?
Yeah. It was like, didn't the Grizzlies
insane streak?
Grizzlies won like 20 in a row or something.
Well, that streak is over.
And I think it's a thing. I heard Tibbs on some podcast where he was talking about his year off and like going to the movies and stuff. And I wonder.
He hated it.
No, but this is like a Bill Simmons theory that I really enjoy. Like in NFL, how Sean Payton was suspended for a year and then found out that there's like good things in life besides football.
Wrote some screenplays.
And now he's terrible. like the sites haven't been good because he was like, well, he doesn't work 100 hours a week anymore. Right. Now he's like, I'm going to go home. Maybe have a cocktail.
Watch Narcos.
Watch a movie. So what if that happens Narcos. To Tibbs?
No, it's very, very possible. But I just think you're going to see Big Cat kind of take that next step. Wiggins, we forget, is going to be a, probably top five defensive wing player. Chris Dunn could be in the run for Rookie of the Year if he gets the tick. I think he's better. He's going to be better than Rubio by the end of the season. So... I like this team. I think they're going to have my only concern is their division is ridiculous. They're going to be chopped up.
Every team is competitive. All these guys are competitive.
So, they could, but that could, steal their medal and get them a little bit of, get better quickly with that division play. So I'm going over just based on the fact I think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be a ridiculous.
So good.
Wouldn't surprise me. I'm glad we're not unanimous on it.
Yep.
You probably saved our bacon. Let's go to Phoenix. By the time I get to Phoenix, I'll have known what Keith's number is and reveal the Vegas number. Bad joke ends now.
I have Phoenix at 29 wins, and I don't feel right. I don't feel right about it.
You hit it.
Did I?
That's what they say.
Yeah, I don't feel good about it. I actually was thinking about taking them under. Lakers preseason got me a little excited. And I started thinking maybe I should take some wins and move some wins around, but I eventually did not, and I stuck with my original 29 wins. They're going to be fun to watch. The roster doesn't make a ton of sense. They have some talent, but they're clearly worse than almost every other team we've already said. Maybe they can catch Sacramento. I'm not sure. So unless we see some, if we get 82 games out of Eric Bledsoe and then some improvement from like a TJ Warren and then Devin Booker becomes good and then Alex Lynn plays, they could be better, but I'm going to go with 29, and I'll go under, actually, if I have to pick one out of those 29s.
Worst team in the West.
Yep. That's not shocking at all.
Worst team in the West. That's what I think.
I think the Lakers could be really bad.
That's the argument.
Yeah.
I don't think so, though.
I
don't think the Lakers are not the second
I want to say before Bledsoe got hurt last year, they were okay. I mean, they weren't good, but they were like 13-20 or 13-18 or something like that, where on pace to win over 30 games last year. And so it seems like they're maybe in a better space because they don't have the Markieff Morris thing hanging over them. They have a new coach that everyone seems to be really into. Earl Watson seems to be maybe a good leader, a la Dave Fizdale.
Right.
So I understand some optimism there, but yeah, I think they're going to be lack of talent.
I don't understand the composition of that team.
Yep.
I don't think they have any depth. I don't think Eric Bledsoe will ever stay healthy.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
I love it.
It is so good.
He's so awesome.
I'm basing my over based on Eric Bledsoe staying healthy, which I know could be, fool's gold.
I mean, I think really their only good player.
But Devin Booker can shoot. And TJ Warren's could take that next step here.
What if they trade Brandon Knight for Rudy Gay?
Then I'm
they'll
under.
Be worse.
That would make so Suns fans would be so angry.
Yeah, it would be. But no,
it'd be a great trade for the other team.
That would really mess up my Sacramento under.
yes, it would.
Their roster is a little confusing, but I don't know. I think. 31 games.
This is the team.
Ah, going over.
Yeah.
This is the team I'm going to ride in fantasy basketball and watch most of
always.
Their games.
Always.
But yeah, I don't. The future is bright, though. I will say, the Marquise Chris looks good, that's like a shock already.
Right.
Like, apparently, he did not look good in college. You know, he was, again, a big prospect, but he's been doing, again, it's just preseason, but he's been looking like, oh, okay. I like what this guy's going to do.
Your deep dive has taken you too far.
Too far.
And you're all out of air.
Yeah.
I'm under.
Get in the bins.
We are to the most exciting team in the entire world.
Jeez Louise.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Post Kobe.
Literally, I was at like 24 wins for them a few weeks ago.
Where are you now?
And then I was watching the preseason. I was kind of liking it. I like all the things I'm hearing out of Lakers camp.
Having a lot of fun out there.
Having a lot of fun. I like what I'm hearing from Luke Walton. I like the way the players are playing together. I got them I still actually have them last, but at 28 wins. So 28 wins.
You're over.
Really?
Vegas has them at 25 and a half. And that, my friend, is a warning sign.
That is a huge warning sign. See, again, I was under literally before the preseason started. I was like, this team is still horrible.
That number should be higher because of LA being LA. So that makes me think Vegas thinks
exactly. That's
awful.
Really confusing. Mm-hmm. So, man, that throws me off, but I guess I'll go over 25 and a half. I mean, here's the thing. They do not, their first round pick is top three protected.
Right.
So.
So they.
I'm almost certain it's top three protected.
They have, if it is, then they have the reason to tank at the end of the year,
right? And maybe there's a little gentleman's agreement between the front office. Hey, Luke, suck this year,
be bad,
be good next year.
Like it would behoove them, and it's one of those things. If they keep this pick this year, they also keep their pick in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Their 2019 pick is owed to Orlando. If it doesn't convey in 2019, it becomes second round picks.
Right.
So.
I'm telling you.
Them keeping the 20...
Between this and that Vegas number not being higher, I don't know if this team wants to win.
Here's another thing. They could still win 28 games and be the third worst team.
That's true.
You're still running the risk of the lottery, someone jumping you. That's tough.
I gotta go under because of my conspiratorial nature.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sorry, Lakers fans.
Man.
Yeah.
I do think you're a much better team now, but... Why win? Why?
When I was
you can't make the playoffs.
When I did the Lakers preview with Darius Soriano, he was saying that he thought the Lakers viewed it as more valuable to do that whole establish a winning culture. Because if you start winning games and you have the young guys, then you can bring in free agents. If you're still terrible, they might not be able to get the free agents. So perhaps this team views it as more important to win the games this year, not worry about that draft pick protection overtly. You know, when it comes down to the end of it, yeah, you're not going to do anything stupid to risk it. But overall, they think if they win some games, it'll be better off. So I'll stick with the over.
It's hard, man.
Chuck sure is friends with a lot of Lakers fans.
Well, this is a tough one because you threw in all that. That number is so low.
It is really low.
That's like if that was Memphis, that'd be 22.
That's a warning sign.
Yeah. Like Vegas, knowing that all those Lakers fans are just pounding that over.
That's a warning sign.
I mean, literally, they have to have the most money on. It's like the Knicks have the most title bets on them.
I've been losing money at gambling a long time, people.
I am going to go.
Uncle John giving you a warning.
I'm going to go.
Here, have a beer.
Over.
Woo!
I mean, like 26 games, which still is awful and terrible and no good.
Hey, it's almost 10 games better than they were last year.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's whatever.
That's a tough one.
Luol Deng is going to play hard. You know, Brandon Ingram's going to play hard. There's going to be, you know, decent. D'Angelo Russell's destroying in preseason. They could be decent.
They're going to win like 25 games, be slightly better than the Suns, keep their pick, and load up for the future.
When I say decent, I mean awful. Sorry. I didn't mean to say decent. I mean, when it comes to this projection.
You mean mad decent?
Mad decent, yo.
Well, that's it, guys.
That's a good look.
Man, we did it. So we did all the overrunners. I almost want to change. I'll tell you the one I almost want to change.
I forbid you.
Is the Cleveland under. Because us being unanimous on Cleveland's 57-game under kills me. That seems wild. Yeah. But anyway, so all right, to wrap up for you guys, and once again, tooting our own horn, pride comes before a fall. We've been 21-4 over the last 2 years on our unanimous picks. Our unanimous picks this year, going back to the Eastern Conference show and to the Western Conference, we said unanimous, Cavs under 57, Boston over 54, Charlotte over 40. Oh, I don't have the actual numbers.
Over 40 and a half.
So we have Charlotte over, Orlando.
You're skipping Chicago. Under 40 and a half.
Oh, I was going in a weird order.
Okay. Orlando over.
Unanimous on Orlando. Unanimous on Chicago.
Unanimous on the Knicks under 40 and a half.
Yep.
And unanimous on the 76ers under 25.
And then in the West.
We have, do you want me to just read them through?
Yep.
Spurs over 57.
Unanimous.
Oklahoma City Thunder under 45. Unanimous. Clippers unanimous over 54. Portland unanimous under 45 and a half.
That's going to bite us.
Sacramento unanimous under 32 and a half. Denver unanimous over 37. That's it.
Which seems ambitious.
Right.
So those are your over. I mean, again, we're not going to lose on those. I mean, I'm just saying we're not going with a losing record on those. Right?
We'll just see how much money we lose this year now that we're finally putting our money where
we've been saving up our ad income.
And I have never lost on these over under totals ever.
Well, so
and it's going to happen this year.
The good thing
because
about
of you scumbags.
The good thing about the over unders is I feel like the sports books don't care as much about them because the real pros aren't locking their money up
right
for a season long bet. So they're like, whatever. This is just amateur
hour. This thing rescues me from all my frivolous midnight drunken second half crazy.
You need to stop doing those second half overs and unders and things. That's just insane. All right. Well, hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you guys checking us out. Go to fastbreakbreakfastpodcast.com and check it out. Maybe think about sending us a couple bucks over on our Patreon, patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. If you like this show, subscribe. Write an iTunes review, 5 stars. Like us on Facebook. Nashville listeners, keep your ears open in regards to some official Memphis Grizzlies watch parties here. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, the season is here. I mean, breakfast is the most important thing.